Hello everyone, my name is Mohammed Al-Faris. I'll be talking to you about Hedera, which is a system that performs dynamic flow scheduling for data center networks. This is joint work with my awesome colleagues at UCSD, Sivasankar Radhakrishnan and Bharath Raghavan, who's now at Williams, Nelson Hong and Professor Amin Vahdat. So to begin, what happened? Okay, sorry. To begin, in the past few years, we've seen a tremendous growth in the size of data center networks. Currently deployed data center networks are supporting tens of thousands of machines. And it's expected that in the next few years that they'll encompass hundreds of thousands of machines. So one consequence of this rapid growth is that the limited port densities at the core routers have forced the horizontal rather than vertical expansion of these networks, which means that we're increasingly relying on multipathing to forward traffic across the diameter of the network. So with the rise of distributed computing frameworks like MapReduce and Hadoop, it turns out these workloads have substantial bandwidth requirements. For example, after the mappers have finished processing their input chunks, there needs to be a shuffle phase that will do all-to-all communication to get the intermediate results to the reducers before the computation can continue. And this shuffle phase stresses the network interconnect tremendously. So if you have oversubscription in your network, it's not unusual to see oversubscription ratios of up to 240 to 1 in commercially deployed networks, along with inefficient forwarding, then jobs can often be bottlenecked by the network. So we count among the main contributions of this work is the integration and working implementation of three things: centralized data center routing control, along with flow demand estimation, and efficient and fast scheduling heuristics. The system enables more efficient utilization of the network infrastructure, and for certain traffic patterns, achieves up to 96% of the optimal bisection bandwidth, and more than doubles that of standard techniques. So to give you a bit of background, the current industry standard for doing multipathing in the data center uses an OSPF extension called Equal Cost Multipath, or ECMP. And how this works is basically the following. You can configure a router with multiple destination ports for a given destination subnet. And if the router receives a packet destined to that subnet, it will perform a hash on a subset of that packet's headers and will forward that packet based on that hash. This was originally developed as a wide area backbone traffic engineering tool, and it's widely implemented in networking equipment by Cisco, Juniper, Procurve, and others. However, ACMP has a major drawback, is that it's static and it's oblivious to link utilization. The main problem here is that it can cause long-term local and downstream flow collisions. What I mean by that is that if you have two incoming 1 gigabit flows that happen to hash on the same output port that can only support 1 gigabit per second, then you can artificially limit their combined throughput, even though there may be other available paths that are underutilized. So we performed a bunch of Monte Carlo simulations on a 27,000 host factory network and a randomized communication matrix, and found that ECMP wastes on average 61% of the bisection bandwidth. This is on average. This is not the worst case. So the main problem we're trying to solve here is that if you're given a dynamic traffic matrix of flow demands, how do you find paths for these flows that maximizes the network bisection bandwidth? We want to do this with the commodity Ethernet switches and without doing any NTOS modifications. So this turns out to be a pretty standard networking problem called the multi-commodity flow problem, as Brandon pointed out. And if you constrain yourself to single path forwarding, which means that you don't split a single flow across multiple paths, then this can be expressed as a binary integer programming problem, which is known to be combinatorial and NP-complete. You can use exact solvers like the CPLEX and GLPK toolkits to solve this, but these are impractical for the sizes of networks that we're considering, because the computation simply takes on the order of hours. Now, you can also formulate this as a linear programming problem if you allow flow splitting, which means that you split a single flow's packets across multiple paths simultaneously. But if you do that, you introduce possible packet reordering, which is bad for TCP performance. So we know that polynomial time algorithms are known for three-stage class networks, but no such algorithms are known for five-stage class networks, which correspond to three-tier fat trees. However, this is besides the point, because we need to target arbitrary general data center topologies, so we can't come up with a particular polynomial time algorithm that's optimized for a single topology. So what we're proposing is our system Hedera, which does dynamic flow scheduling. The goal here is to optimize the achievable bisection bandwidth by assigning flows non-conflicting paths. Our system uses flow demand estimation and placement heuristics to find good flow-to-core mappings. So what we're proposing here is a central scheduler that has global knowledge of all the links in the network and can control the routing tables of all the switches. The scheduler operates a tight control loop that first detects the large flows in the network, then it'll estimate their bandwidth demands, and finally compute good paths for them and insert flow entries into the switches. Now, the first part is doing elephant detection. So what we do here is that we have the scheduler continually polling the edge switches for flow byte counts. And any flow that grows beyond a certain predefined byte per second threshold is considered to be large. We consider this threshold in our implementation to be 10% of the host's link capacity, which means any flow that's sending at faster than 100 megabits per second. Now, you might ask, what if you only have a lot of small flows or flows that are just beneath the threshold? Well, it turns out that using the default ECMP load balancing is fairly efficient in this case, because it's highly unlikely that a large group of small flows would all hash into the same output port and reduce the bisection bandwidth. So I want to emphasize here that Hedera complements ECMP. The default forwarding for new flows uses ECMP, and Hedera will schedule large flows that might cause bisection bandwidth problems. The second step is doing demand estimation. Now, the key observation here is that the empirical measurements of flow rates are not suitable or sufficient for doing flow scheduling. That's because the current TCP flow rates may be constrained due to inefficient forwarding. So what we need to do here is to find the flow's overall fair bandwidth allocation to better inform the placement algorithms. So we know that TCP's additive increase and multiplicative decrease behavior, along with fair queuing in the network switches, try to achieve the maximum fairness in the steady state. However, when routing is a degree of freedom, you don't know which paths will constrain flows and be bottlenecks. So establishing maximum fair bandwidth demands is hard, because you might need to try all possible flow routings. So the ideal case here is that we're trying to find the maximum fair bandwidth allocation as if flows were only constrained by the sender or receiver NIC. And it also happens that if you have a rearrangeably non-blocking topology, such as a fat tree, then this also corresponds to the bandwidth allocation of the optimal routing strategy. Now, how this works is basically the following. If you're given a traffic matrix of large flows, you modify each flow's size at the source and destination iteratively. First, the sender will equally distribute its available unconverged bandwidth among its outgoing flows. Next, NIC-limited receivers will decrease the exceeded capacity equally between the incoming flows. And then you repeat this process until all the flows converge. So you're guaranteed that if you do this process, that one or more flows will converge in each iteration of the process, and the entire computation will converge in time that's linear to the list of flows. So let me give you a brief example of how this works. Suppose you have three senders, A, B, and C, and two receivers, X and Y. A sends to X, x and y, and b and c both sent to y. Now, at the sender side, A has available unconverged bandwidth of 1 and 2 outgoing flows, so they each get a share of 1 half, and B and C both get 1. So at the receiver side, X does not have any receiver-limited flows, so it does nothing. Now, receiver Y has a total incoming flow capacity that's greater than its incoming NIC capacity, and all of these three flows happen to be non-sender limited flows, so it will give equal share of its incoming NIC bandwidth to all of these three flows, which happens to be a third. So as you can see on the left here, the bottom three flows have now converged, and now going back to the sender A, which has available unconverged bandwidth of 2/3 and only one remaining unconverged flow, which will get a share of 2/3. And now you can see all the flows have converged, and the receivers do nothing, and the process terminates. So to do placement heuristics, we specifically chose very simple and fast heuristics to make the placement computation as fast as possible. So the first placement heuristic we looked at is called global first fit. Here, when the scheduler detects a new flow, it will linearly search all the possible paths from the source to the destination. And it will place that flow on the first path whose component links can all fit that flow. Flows here are placed upon detection and are not moved. And once a flow ends, its flow entries in the switches, along with its link reservations at the scheduler, time out and are cleared. So the second heuristic we looked at is called simulated annealing. This is basically a probabilistic search for good flow-to-core mappings. The goal here, again, is to maximize the achievable bisection bandwidth. So starting, for example, with an initial randomized flow-to-core mapping, the scheduler will keep generating neighbor states from a list of many neighbor generator functions that we talk about in the paper. Here, a neighbor state is a closely related but slightly different flow-to-core mapping. The scheduler will calculate the total exceeded bandwidth capacity of the current and the neighbor state, and it will accept and move to the neighbor state if there's a bisection bandwidth gain. And you repeat this process a few thousand iterations for each scheduling round. Now, you also want to avoid local minima, so you have a non-zero probability to move to a worse state. So this is a known technique, and we implemented several optimizations that reduce the search space significantly and make the process much faster, such as assigning a single core switch to each destination host, incrementally calculating the exceeded capacity at each iteration, among others that we talk about in the paper. So let me give you a brief example of how this works. Suppose the scheduler has three flows to place, A, B, and C, and is given three iterations to run. Simulated annealing. So here, the scheduler will keep generating neighbor states and moving to states that have a higher bisection bandwidth until the number of iterations is reached. The final state is published to the switches and used as the initial state for the next round. Now, this last point is very important because across scheduling rounds, it's likely that only a few new large flows would have entered or left the system. So we want to generate neighbor states that minimize disruption to already placed ongoing flows by having new flows take over the terminated flows paths if possible. Now, what about fault tolerance? So you might ask, what happens when there's a link or switch failure? Well, this project was co-developed with Portland, which is described in last year's SIGCOM, and we leveraged Portland's fault detection and notification protocol to inform Hedera of faults. And Hedera will simply disallow paths that go through these failed components and will route around them. Now, you might say, what if the entire scheduler fails? Well, it turns out that all the state in the scheduler is soft state, so it's not required for correctness, which we consider here to be connectivity. The switches here will simply fall back to the default ECMP load balancing. And you can also have multiple backup scheduler machines to take over the scheduling responsibilities. Now, we built and implemented this system at UCSD. We have a 16-host testbed arranged in a K equals 4 fat tree data plane. There, we have 20 machines, which each have each has 4-port net FPGAs all running OpenFlow. And we also have a parallel 48-port non-blocking Quanta switch, which we use for debugging and control. We also have a separate scheduler machine, which runs Hedera and performs the dynamic traffic monitoring and OpenFlow routing control. Now, to evaluate the system on our testbed, we generated a traffic benchmarking suite that attempts to stress the network as much as possible. So on the y-axis here, you can see the bisection bandwidth of the network in gigabits per second. And on the x-axis, different communication patterns that we tried, which include staggered probability, strides, randomized bijective and non-bijective mappings, among others. We compare the performance of ECMP to our global first fit and simulated annealing heuristics, and compare them to the non-blocking switch, which we consider to be the ideal case. As you can see, ECMP performs progressively worse when the communicating parties are further away on the network hierarchy, and that global first fit and simulated annealing perform rather closely to the ideal non-blocking case. And that in almost all of these communication patterns that we tried, simulated annealing almost always outperforms global first fit. Now, we also did a data shuffle. Here we have each of the hosts send 500 megabytes to every other host participating in the shuffle. This is 120 gigabyte all-to-all in-memory shuffle. When found that Hedera achieves 39% better bisection bandwidth over standard ECMP and 88% of the ideal non-blocking switch case. So to evaluate the system for larger topologies, we built a simulator that models TCP's AIMD behavior when flows are only constrained by the topology. It has a stochastic process for modeling flow arrival times and the number of bytes to transfer, and we calibrated its performance against the testbed. So you might be asking, why didn't we use existing simulators like NS2 or OnNet? Well, it turns out that using packet-level simulators are simply impractical at the network scales and link speeds that we're considering, because doing per-packet computations will simply take too long for networks with thousands of hosts. So here again, ECMP performs rather poorly in comparison to the global first fit and simulated annealing heuristics, which perform remarkably closely to the hypothetical non-blocking switch case. So to test the reactiveness of the system, we need to measure the time it takes to do the individual components of the scheduler control loop. So for demand estimation, we measured the time it takes for doing demand estimation for a network with 27,000 hosts and 250,000 large flows, and find that the demand estimation converges in under 200 milliseconds for a modestly provisioned machine. Now, this is a pretty extreme case of around 10 large flows per host. For more realistic scenarios, we find that this converges in around 50 to 60 milliseconds. Now, next, for simulated annealing, we find that it's independent on the number of hosts, but asymptotically dependent on the number of flows and the number of iterations that you want to run. So for a case with 50,000 flows and 10,000 iterations, simulated annealing finishes in around 11 milliseconds. I also want to point out that most of the final bisection bandwidth is achieved from the first few hundred iterations. So you don't need to run a lot of iterations to get good results. So a conservative estimate for the total time it takes to do the scheduler control loop, which includes the polling for flow stats from the edge switches, in addition to estimation of demands and doing simulated annealing, is around 145 milliseconds for a network with 27,000 hosts. So naturally, our system is not without its limitations. You can see on the left a sort of qualitative graph of where ECMP and Hedera perform well in terms of traffic matrix stability and flow sizes, where stability is defined here on the order of a couple of hundred milliseconds. Here we find that if you have dynamically changing workloads where the large flow turnover is faster than the control loop, then of course the flow placement decisions will not be very effective because the scheduler will be continually chasing the traffic matrix. Also, we also need to include a penalty term to penalize unnecessary simulated annealing flow reassignments so as not to disrupt ongoing flows unless it's absolutely necessary. So this is a part of ongoing work. We want to improve the utility function of simulated annealing, which to include this movement penalty, in addition to adding flow priorities to enable QoS, for example, for certain classes of traffic or certain hosts in the network. And we also want to incorporate other metrics, such as power, so that in times of low load, we can turn off switches similar to what Elastic Tree is doing. And the good news here is that we intend to release the combined system of Portland and Hedera on June 1st. So if you're interested in this project, please come talk to me afterwards. We're also investigating how to do perfect non-centralized per packet load balancing in the data center, which involves modifications to TCP, which is ongoing work at UCSD. So to conclude, we find that simulated annealing delivers significant bisection bandwidth gains over standard ECMP. And I want to emphasize that Hedera complements ECMP, and that if you have traffic flows that are dominated by small flows or RPC-like traffic, then ECMP does a relatively good job load balancing. So the main takeaway that I want to impart to you from this talk is that if you're running MapReduce or Hadoop-style jobs on your network or transferring lots of data, then you stand to benefit greatly from Hedera, especially given the tiny investment of just one extra machine that will unlock the bisection bandwidth of your topology. And this concludes my talk. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any questions?
Quick question, this is probably just a clarification. So you motivated Hedera with this Monte Carlo simulation where you were showing that in some cases there can be hash collisions, which means that you're not really using the bisection bandwidth. And as far as I understand, that ends up being a balls and bins experiment. Is that right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
That ends up being a balls and bin experiment. You're putting balls into bins many cases. And I was wondering if you were to use the power of two choices, the trick that Michael Mitzenmacher proposes, wouldn't that essentially buy you most of the benefits by reducing most of the collisions? Because essentially in the power of two choices, you're picking two bins and putting the ball into the bin which is least loaded. And I was wondering if you've given that a thought.
So yeah, we looked at that. And for sure that two choice hash functions will perform significantly better. But main motivation of this work is that we find static-based load balancing to be fundamentally flawed, is that it cannot move fast enough for dynamically changing traffic patterns. So the drawbacks of using static hash functions is well known.
I want to follow up on that, but I'll let Srikant ask this question and maybe come back.
I really like the work. Making simulated annealing practical is certainly a noble investment.
Okay.
But I worry if you're just slightly complicating the problem a little too much.
For example,
there's no real reason why you need single large flows in your data center. Every MapReduce implementation has a block size. Flows larger than that block size are kind of rare. Even if they are, you could consider something like a TCP ending right after a chunk gets transferred and restarting in you.
That's definitely a good observation. So If you have block sizes that are very small, then ECMP does a good job. However, the motivation behind this work is that we want to provide a framework for a network that can support any kind of traffic. We don't want to impose any networking limitations on the application developers and want to provide as general a network as possible.
Along that perspective, a simple another example is that the round-trip times are so small that you can just do packets spreading across your multiple links and have a small reassembly buffer sitting at the receiver kernel. You don't need much additional delay for that.
That's ongoing work that we're working on exactly that at UCSD.
So related to your first question, trying to get understand the intuition. So if the number of balls far exceed the number of bins.
I'm sorry?
If the number of balls you're trying to pack into bins, using the analogy here, if the number of balls far exceed the number of bins, then does the distribution of size of balls matter in terms of load balance?
Well, we're assuming that the traffic patterns obey the Hose model. So if there's if you have outgoing flows that are higher than the number of what your network can support, then what else can you do? However, the point behind doing demand estimation is that we figure out the fair allocation of bins for the hosts. So the end goal of that is that they will all fit into these bins. So that's the end goal of what TCP is trying to achieve anyway.
Annoying little technical question. Simulated annealing is often described as the last resort when you don't know what else to do with the problem. I'm curious if you threw something like multi-commodity flow routing with randomized rounding at this, and did you reject that, or did you just decide it was too much of a pain to get someone's code running?
We wanted something very simple and very fast, so that's the reason we chose these heuristics.
Did you find the multi-commodity flow routing too slow? I would be surprised. It's polynomial and fast if you do the randomized rounding.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Multi-commodity flow is very simple if you don't care about integral constraints, and if you do randomized rounding to come to an integral solution, fast and reasonable.
Well, I think if you mean if you split flows, then it's polynomial.
You split flows and then you reassign them into an integral flow again.
Yeah,
randomly.
Yeah. So that's part of ongoing work that we're trying.
Okay. So let's thank the speaker again.